And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about we are down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee. Where am I saying here? Georgia, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. Lord, I had somebody calling my cell phone. I was trying to turn it off while I'm talking. Apparently, I can't multitask. By the way, hey, I just got a text a minute ago, Bud, from Travis from Just Love Coffee. With response, he was talking about how he was driving up somewhere, and so he had to go ahead and listen to the show on the live stream.
Yeah.
And he said, and wherever I was, there you was.
I like it.
Nice. First part of the Triple Dipper, home fries. Home fries, things that are happening around about town, you know what I'm saying? Things that are happening around here. Stuff that happens that you might want to know about right here in your own home state. So what about our own attorney general, who is continuing to fight the good fight? Now, I love this. I mean, every time I turn around, Steve Marshall is literally seems like he is going after the woke wars. You know what I'm saying? So storyline, here's come off of 1819 News today. So A.G. Marshall is applauding the federal appeals court for upholding the injunction that protects religious vaccine exemptions for U.S. Air Force members. Glad of it. Now, Attorney General Marshall has been literally leading that fight now since the day it started, calling on the courts, calling on the Biden administration to make changes, to recognize that the vaccine mandate on the military is debilitating to the military, is demoralizing to the personnel. It has a negative impact upon our nation's ability to protect itself. And when it comes to our National Guard, it impacts our ability for the state to also protect itself, you know, natural disasters and that kind of thing. Well, on Tuesday of this week, the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld a previous injunction that protected members of the U.S. Air Force from being disciplined for not getting the vaccine for religious reasons. And, of course, that was part of a lawsuit that A.G. Marshall was supportive of. So, A.G. Marshall says, in March, a federal district court ruled in their favor, placing a preliminary injunction barring the Air Force from disciplining any member for claiming a religious liberty exemption to the vaccine mandate. Yay. Good stuff. Of course, what happened? The Air Force appealed it. I mean, it boggles the mind. You look at it and go, I guess on the one hand, Air Force, you don't want these people anymore, and so you're willing just to pursue it to the nth degree, but don't you also recognize what you're doing to readiness? But then again, they are bound to follow the orders of the commander-in-chief, so there's that. So, according to the court opinion upholding the injunction, the Air Force granted no religious exemptions to anyone who did not plan to leave the service within a year. And the judge said this. The judge says the Air Force's bare-bones argument does nothing to show the district court abused its discretion, that's the lower court, by temporarily prohibiting it from engaging in any disciplinary separation actions. By the way, this is not just the first time. This has been happening. Thank you, A.G. Marshall, by the way, for standing up for the military on the vaccine mandates. Also be aware, too, in January of this year, another district court judge, federal district court judge, ruled, where'd it go? In favor of, 35 Navy SEALs who had requested religious accommodation on the vaccine themselves. This is an ongoing battle. It's been proven that there is nothing within the context of mandating a shot that will stop you from getting it. You're not stopping transmissibility in the ranks. You're not. And the effects of COVID have now gotten to the point that they are endemic. They're no longer pandemic. They're endemic. They're just here. It's like the flu. It happens. And so the idea that we're going to continue to end careers and diminish readiness and hurt recruiting, there you go. Here's another story from AL.com. Total change of subject. Brace yourselves. Here we go. 82-year-old woman arrested for not paying her trash bill. Did you see this one, Boomer, when I was putting it together?
I did, and I had to read part of it because I was like, whoa, this is for real?
Yeah, this is for real. Down in Valley, a small town down there near Lee County, I think that area near Auburn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alabama Police Department in Valley drew outrage after its police chief announced the arrest of an 82-year-old woman who did not pay her trash bill, and he announced it on social media. Culprit has been detained.
The 82-year-old woman has been detained.
Yeah, for not paying her trash bill. Valley Police Chief Mark Reynolds claimed the department's hands were tied on whether to handcuff Martha Lewis Minifield after a magistrate signed off on her arrest for a failure to pay trash, adding that the 82-year-old woman was treated respectfully by our officers in the performance of their duties. Well, I'm glad. Chief, I gotta ask, was this really your priority for the day? It says, while our officers can use their discretionary judgment on certain matters, the enforcement of an arrest warrant issued by the court and signed by a magistrate is not one of them. Well, you can imagine how people replied to him on Facebook. Yeah. Not generally in his favor, if you know what I'm saying.
Nope.
And people are also questioning, why didn't the city just discontinue her trash pickup? It was that big of a deal.
Why didn't they just stop? If she hasn't paid, just stop the trash pickup.
Don't have an answer for you, brother. I am right there with you with the my level of perplexion.
You don't pay your power bill, don't they just stop service?
I'm told, yes.
I figure they would.
Well, that's I don't know. Apparently doesn't work that way down yonder in Valley.
Nope.
Not in Valley, Alabama. They take it serious. They'll cuff you and take you to jail for not paying that garbage dues. All right, next story, AL.com. Again, I got two from AL.com. It's, you know, there's whole weeks I go by without quoting a story from AL.com. So the Birmingham Waterworks Board. Okay. Birmingham Waterworks Board. In case you have not been tracking some of the stories we've had on this show about the Birmingham Waterworks Board, they do not just service Birmingham. They serve five counties. They are one of the biggest of the smallest utilities. In other words, they're not Alabama Power. They're not statewide. They're not TVA. But they're huge, nonetheless. Something like 770,000 people are serviced by the Birmingham Waterworks Board. Yeah. And if you live in Jefferson, Blount, St. Clair, Shelby, and I'm missing one, maybe Walker County, I think, you may very well be serviced by the Birmingham Waterworks Board. Well, they're raising your rates. Despite all of the corruption, despite all of the mismanagement, despite all of the massive fees they've been spending on consultants and PR and trying to save face in the eyes of the public, they decided the best thing they could do is go ahead and raise your rates. So a 3.9% increase for ratepayers will begin in 2023. Wow. The general manager says, a critical factor for the rate increase is demand for consumption, which, like the rest of the country, we see continuing to decline. What? Okay. First of all, ain't nobody's house that turned off the tap, all right? So consumption declining. What about, are there people that perhaps have switched their water service to another utility? Very rarely. Only if the community local board is no longer getting its water through Birmingham Waterworks Board, all right? Like we saw a few years ago up in Etowah County, the Rainbow City Water Board said they were tired of Gadsden's water board, selling them water at a higher rate, and they just ran a pipe to St. Clair County, just south of them, and they got a better rate with well water and not river water. So that can happen. But what we're really seeing is the population in the urban areas that were in and around Birmingham is likely declining. We saw that in the census. And so what are they doing? They're raising the rates to accommodate. Wow. So the Birmingham Waterworks Board able to decrease their 2023 capital budget by 26.2%, but their O&M budget went up 8.12%. So that's not a help. So they dropped their capital budgets. In other words, they're not building stuff. But their operations and management went up. Why would that be? Pray tell. Maybe it's because they've been spending millions of dollars, millions, on consultants and PR firms trying to rehab their very negative image. And then on top of that, the Biden administration's inflation has caused the chemicals they use to treat the water to go up also. So there's that. Birmingham Waterworks Board, stand by. You're getting more, or actually you're getting less for more. How about that? Okay. Let's talk some football.
Football.
There we go. Around about the state, doing some home fries here, number one on the Triple Dipper. Football. UAB's got a new coach. It ain't just Auburn. UAB's got a new coach. Now, I remember a few years ago, remember, you were still in Tennessee at the time, up there in Nashville, mm-hmm. when you were sojourning in the wilderness. Were you tracking back then that UAB football almost went away completely?
I was.
Yeah.
Because I had a couple friends and, you know, my siblings' friends that were at UAB at the time.
Yeah, the University of Alabama system trustees didn't really like the idea that there was a competitive program within the UA system. Never mind that they weren't competing with Nick Saban.
Right.
But they still needed resources and they still needed attention. And so, you know, there was a lot of angst, apparently.
As they weren't getting that much attention. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And so the community threw a fit. And
yeah.
And you know, maybe part of this was leverage. Maybe the UA system trustees said, well, if you're not going to have good facilities for us to play in, why should we be there? You know, Legion Field's getting tired. But anyway, bottom line, UAB football, with all the support in the world and then an increase in facilities and increased notoriety, came back, and they have come back pretty well.
Pretty strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they? They're a D2 team, I guess, right
D2.
Now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Trent Dilfer, who has been coaching high school. So he's popping up from the high school. But he was a former professional football player,
mm-hmm.
Played in the NFL, played college at Fresno State, played in the NFL. He's been coaching at Lipscomb Academy in Tennessee. The interesting thing is his record there, he went to a program that was 3-19, and he's leaving with his record being 43-10 right after he got there. He's third consecutive year this year that he's taken his team to the state title game, and Class 2 AA state championships. Bottom line is he's got a great record. I love this part though. If Charlene's listening, I can so relate to this, because this sounds like a conversation we might have even had this morning. Just to be honest with you. He was telling his wife, he says, you know, I think we're where we need to be. I mean, I think high school is where it's at. We're changing kids' lives. We feel good about it. But he said, she looked at me and said, well, that's true, but I want you to think about something. You were made for more, and you've done what you can here where we're at. I want you to stretch yourself, and I want you to listen. That was his wife.
Wow. Wow.
I'm just saying.
Shoot.
Find the right woman, and you will go places. Anyway. And shortly after that, he wound up getting a call from UAB. Bam. And what he thought was going to be a 10-minute call turned into an hour and a half, and next thing you know, he got a job.
Wow.
So very cool. Look forward to see what Coach Dilfer will do. They announced him yesterday.
Hey, he's a cool guy, too. I actually had met him when I was up in Nashville.
No kidding. And, is that where Lipscomb Academy was, or what?
Lipscomb Academy is in the Nashville area. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and they were good. They were real good.
Apparently so, under his watch. But then there's also the whole Auburn hiring Hugh Freeze.
All right,
so
tell me.
So I'm not going down the straight ticket route of just discussing the ins and outs of his coaching skills and all that. I thought, what does Tommy Tuberville say about this?
Yeah,
it's a fair question.
Yeah, that is a fair question.
When we get back from the break, I'll tell you.
Let's do it.
All right. We'll do it. We'll come back. And then, by the way, it's almost Christmas. If you have a Bama fan and you want to order an actual Bear Bryant hat worn by Bear Bryant from 1967, there's one for sale. I'll tell you about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Home Fries. That's where we are in the Triple Dipper. Be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got one text here from TC from Priceville. It says, if you're going to talk about some Alabama football, meaning the state, he said, you better mention our Troy Trojans are hosting the Sun Belt Conference Championship game this weekend against Coastal Carolina. Go Troy. Well, TC, I think I just did. So there you go. All right, get her done, Trojans.
Yeah.
All right. There's plenty more where that came from. Home fries. I'm talking about things that happen right here around the good old. By the way, Alabama is beautiful. And I say all the time on this show, I hope you've heard me say it before. If you're not, you're about to hear it now. That you know, we have the mission. The mission is that we do the four E's, that we educate, enlighten, empower, entertain you on what it means to be a conservative walking in today's world. But the mission is really about the message. And the message for me, the reason why I do this, what gets me up in the morning to get ready for, you know, every day's show is another four-parter. And that's that I don't mind ever saying on this show, Jesus is Lord, America is great, Alabama is beautiful, and life is worth living. So, yep, home fries, we're talking about it. Alabama is beautiful. All right, Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze down on the plains. Freeze on the plains. So what's Tuberville think about that? You know, probably the last most successful coach we've had there, I guess, would be Tommy Tuberville. Now, Malzahn, of course, had his time. But Tuberville had one of the best streaks, I think, of an Auburn coach in recent memory. Some will take me to task on that, I feel certain. But so Coach Tuberville, Senator Tuberville, was recently asked, what does he think about his former employer, Auburn University, hiring Hugh Freeze? You know, bated breath. What does the senator say? Pray tell. How will he respond? Well, he responded with class. You can understand. So, he was a head coach there from 99 to 2008. He acknowledged that Freeze had some past problems, but he said he knew the coach deserved what he called a second chance. So this is Tuberville. You can hear it in his voice. Yeah, there's been some problems. You know, I've known Hugh Freeze for over 30 years. I knew him when he was a high school coach. He had some problems while he was at Ole Miss, but sometimes you have to give people a second chance. In addition to winning games, Tuberville said Freeze is going to need to show that he is, quote, over his past, and he is, quote, a family man. So, yep, there's that. Coach Tuberville talking about the new Coach Freeze down on the plains. And by the way, I think I said it yesterday during the Grand Council. Something came up about this topic. And I think one of the best things that happened, not just for Hugh Freeze himself personally, was that they decided to keep Carnell Williams and to elevate his position at Auburn, because no one can deny that Carnell brought a breath of fresh air to the team. And morale went through the roof because of his leadership. And I suspect that Hugh Freeze is going to be a decent recruiter, but I suspect that the main recruiting element is going to be Carnell Williams too. I bet Carnell's going to be a recruiting force. His personality is going to win some recruits over, and I hope to see the recruiting class for Auburn go up. All right, Boomer, you're a Bama fan.
Yes, I am.
Would you want to own a real, actual Bear Bryant maroon jacket and or a real, worn by him, Bear Bryant houndstooth hat?
Hat.
You want a hat?
That'd be awesome.
Opening bid is currently at $2,500.
Opening bid?
Yes. Do I need to clarify that this is an auction? All right, so AL.com reports that a Bear Bryant houndstooth hat and crimson jacket are up for auction just in time for Christmas. Says, looking for a Christmas present? You or your Crimson Tide buddy can be the owner of a 1967 Bear Bryant personally worn crimson jacket, or maybe a Bear Bryant personally worn houndstooth hat. Leland's 2022 Fall Classic Auction, which runs through the 10th. I assume it's an online auction.
Okay.
All right. They've got a number of they got a bunch of cool stuff, but for the AL.com purposes and for the show, the top two items are going to wind up being one of those suit jackets that Bear Bryant was known to wear that was maroon in color.
Right.
And it's actually, you know, it's apparently probably custom made. And it's got his name, you know, his tag on the inside and all that kind of stuff. But then the big one is, of course, the hat.
The hat.
Yep. The houndstooth hat that is still the symbol. I mean, like, you can just put a houndstooth hat sticker on your car. People know what it is.
Right. You know, it doesn't have to have a name or anything.
No A, no nothing.
Yeah. You see ladies walking around with houndstooth jackets all the time. You're like, oh, Bammer. We know you're a Bama fan.
Bammer fan.
Yeah, Bammer fan.
Bammer fan. the hat had a starting bid of $2,500, but it's already up to $3,025.
All right.
Other things you can get, Mean Joe Green's game jersey from the 1975 Super Bowl. That's a good one. Mickey Mantle, Yankees game used batting helmet from 1957. You got other stuff in there. You got some major items. If you're a sports memorabilia fan, this one's for you. And I had a couple more, not the least of which is Alabama just can't seem to be able to kill off its prisoners. And we finally had to put a stop to it. More to come on that. All right, coming up next, interview with Stephen Curtis Chapman. You're going to want to hear this. It's amazing. Y'all stand by. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio. Solid.